It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Jimmy's winning that team. Jimmy's winning you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chichar.
Donegal 1-22, Kerry 1 goal and 18 points. Delighted to be joined by Martin McHugh, Blairland winner with Donegal 1992. Martin, your thoughts on that?
It's very hard to put thoughts on it, you know. It's a very funny type of game. Looking at it back at it, you know, Donegal looked at a lot of stages to be coasting. Like, I think the big turning point in the game was Darrell Whelan went off the field just at half, you know, just for that time, and he came back on the field and Kerry didn't pick him up and we got the goal, and that was a big score for us, you know, when he just got inside and he did really well to go past the goal. It was the right thing to do, put it in the net, so it was a big score. It's interesting, you know, I just thought Sean O'Shea gave us bother all day long and caused us a lot of trouble, and we didn't come to grips with him at all. And you know, he kicked 11 points and 8 from 2-pointers and then 2 from frees and 1, but he's an unbelievable player. And but from the other negative in Donegal was the high ball at the end of the game. We didn't deal with the high ball well at all into the full back line just there at the end of the game. But anyway, we came away with a 1, and that's an important thing. And it's important to get the Bosie All-Ireland final, because there seemed to be a lot of talk about the All-Ireland final in all circles, you know, when I think it was better for everybody to get it out of the system a bit now with that 1 there today. And I think it's the best thing to do now is just look forward to Mayo in 2 weeks' time in Letterkenny. It was great to get Michael Murphy and Oisin Gallen onto the field as well. And so that makes it, you know, that was good to see that there, that both of them are back from injury. You know, they'll have a couple of weeks now training behind them. You have 4 points on the board. It's very, very important. And, you know, the important thing is probably, you know, to stay in Division 1. I know you have more time this year, Paddy, to go for the league final and everything else. But
should they go for the league final? And are you surprised to see Murphy back this early?
Yeah, it's good to see him back, and there's no harm to get him back. But I think it was important to both to beat Kerry after the All Ireland final and everything. And a good performance. That Finbarr Rorty had a big game. Conor O'Donnell, and I don't understand why Kerry left Casey on him in the All Ireland final and ended up leaving Dahi Casey on him today as well and the whole day. And Conor O'Donnell, a big player. When it mattered the first half, I thought the first half, Paddy, for the first 25, 30 minutes, I thought Sean O'Shea controlled the whole game and had him as a big player. But I thought Donegal, you know, against a strong breeze, kept in the game. And Michael Langan's 2 2-pointers at the start of the second half were big. I think the most important thing you take out of football this time of year is it doesn't matter how you won, as long as you get the victory. And suppose we'll be a wee bit disappointed maybe at times with that game there. But I don't think we ever look like losing the game, which is probably the big thing in the end up.
One more win, the first one. I know you want to beat the traffic. One more win. It's one of those seasons. I think 6 points will probably keep you up. I know Tyrone famously went down on 7. 6 is normally okay. One more win, and then you're probably looking at making a league final. Do you think Jim McGuinness and co, do you think he'll be driven by making a league final, or is it just about developing players?
Well, suppose, Paddy, from the point of view of... From the point of view, now Mayo have beaten Dublin today, so Dublin have no points now, and we are on 4. Mayo are on 4 as well. So the two teams playing the next day will be both on 4 points, coming to Letterkenny the next day. So it'll be a good game and a good game, but you're in a good position after 2 games, 4 points, because teams will beat teams. Galway was actually standing beside Paddy Joyce here at the game, and Kerry go down to Galway next week, and Galway was here looking at the surrounds here because it's very important because they come here in the league match as well, Paddy Joyce. So I think looking at it from the point of view from the Donegal's point of view, I think it's be no harm to go for the league final. We've only won one league in our life. It was in 2007 under Brian McIver. So it'd be no harm to go and try to win the league, because it'll give you confidence, you know. And, I think you have time this year because you have 5 weeks, I think, from the last league game to the first to the down game in the championship. So I think you have time for it. So it'd be no harm. The more confidence you give players, and the more times you play in Croke Park, and the more times you play younger lads in Croke Park and everything else, the bigger help it is. And,
I think it's the tailor of the matches, Martin. If somebody's carrying a niggle or an injury, You don't have to play them if you're under pressure for relegation. You probably, you're forced to play players, aren't
you? Exactly, that's it, you know. And suppose it's important to get the points early, and then you can look at players, you know, for, because what you're going to need is a squad of players when you go down the road. You're going to need a big squad of players when you go down to, when you get into the, you know, because if you look at Kerry, I mean, I don't think Jack O'Connor's too worried the game that he left. David Clifford at home just said, don't bother coming up here, David. And I think, look, you know, we look at that there. They've targeted games they want to win. And if they get to a league final, that's very good. Like last year, go to win it then. But if they don't, they're not going to worry too much about it. But I think when you look at it, Donegal have a big, hard Ulster Championship, where Kerry have an easy Munster Championship, you know, an easy, and don't have big games. So it does make a big difference. Now, the new system, Paddy, will definitely help. I think will help it from the point of view of that there. So, look at, you can see, you know, it's a great 2 points, brilliant 2 points to get. And the important thing is, in my opinion, is winning matches. And we haven't been beaten here since 2009, where Dublin came down here and beat us. So what a record we have in Ballyshannon. It's unbelievable. And what I was just told me, the capacity today was 9,000. They were near enough the full capacity of the day. And I think for the Galway game, they're going to go to 10,000, Paddy. They're going to be able to put 10,000 in here. So, and it's a fabulous ground. The pitch is in brilliant condition. And the opening about is great. It's brilliant. I mean, there's no bother getting parked and everything else. So look at it. I know it's a wee bit far for certain supporters in the county and everything else, but from a player's point of view, the pitch is in great condition. So, I mean, from that point of view, like, there's no excuse. I would say Kerry were pleasantly surprised how good a shape the pitch was in.
They're definitely delighted they've left for journey. So that's it, Martin. Final thoughts. Mayo up next.
It's great to get 2 weeks and to be going
a break
and be going in it with your 4 points in the bag. I think that's the important thing. And Mayo up next will be different because new management and different type of team. They're a very physical team. They play, we struggle with them a bit with their physicality, you know. Suppose maybe that's why, say, the likes of Kieran Gallagher played today. You expect them to play against Mayo as well the next day. For that physicality, which round the middle of the field with Michael Lang and Jason McGee, Q McFadden and Kieran Gallagher, suppose going to go for the physicality in that area. Maybe it does take away a bit from the ability to run then, you know, with that there. But we have to match teams physically. So Mayo will be a different test. Both teams have 4 points, so it's a very good position to be in where you're not under pressure to get the 2 points. So it'll be a very enjoyable game, and you know, it'd be nice to win a game in Letterkenny, in the sense of to win a game, but to win it well and keep laying down markers this year. Why not say we'll go through the year unbeaten, won the league, won to the championship, have a real go at it? Because we see Derry have definitely a kick back in them. Armagh were very, very impressive tonight. Galway were very lucky to beat them. And I think, you know, looking at it like that there, the Ulster Championship, it's going to be as tough as it ever was. So I think the important thing is staying in Division 1, and I think we're in a very, very good position now, Paddy. You probably, you know, at this stage in time, it doesn't look like you'll go down. What, two more? Another six. I know Tyrone down last year in 7. I can't see anybody going down this year in 7. So another 2 points will leave you safe. Maybe 4 will definitely take you into a league final. So, and, you know, you have Roscommon and Mayo in the two last games away from home, but it's looking at the minute that maybe they are the two weakest teams in it at the minute.
Why, sir, of Martin McHugh, thanks a million for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast. Okay, up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, who spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's 4-point victory.
A lot of positives, like in the first half in particular. Kerry then turned the screw on their own kick-out, giving them a lot of possession in the second half. I think they were 12 from 12 in the second half there on their own kick-out. So definitely that has a big impact on it. The negatives probably would be, you know, not dealing with the ball in the air with a couple of times to deal with it. We didn't deal with it. And free kicks, you know, Sean O'Shea is, you know, he's not going to miss. That's just the bottom line. You know, you're dealing with Rory Began, Sean O'Shea, these guys who just don't miss, you know. So be disappointed with the discipline aspect of that and not dealing with the ball into the edge of the square. But overall, control the game well against the breeze, you know, kick their twos with the breeze. That's the advantage of playing in your home pitch. You know that the boys know the pitch. There's always a breeze from the top to the bottom, and Michael understood that and we got good traction on the scoreboard at the start of the second half. But no, I wouldn't be overly disappointed. There's things to work on, to be honest, but at the same time, it felt sort of comfortable enough for most of it. Listen, it gives us 4 points, which is the most important thing of all, and we can sort of now start to look at different things and different scenarios and more game time for different people as well.
Mm-hmm.
The final? Yeah.
So that was good. Just way back this year, the question even happened.
Well, the question was asked, obviously, out of manners, I suppose, Colin, but no, it wasn't a difficult conversation, no. It wasn't, you know, like obviously he had a surgery after the final, and we've been kind of trying to manage him and mind him and build him up from that, you know, but yeah, it's been a long enough road actually since that, you know. He didn't manage to play for his club in the club championship, and he's been building up, so it's great to have him back on the pitch, you know. He was looking forward to that today, to getting out and getting some type of a run out, you know, and hopefully we can build his minutes in the weeks and months ahead. Yeah. No, listen, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of positives, you know, and there was a good level of control in the game, but at the same time, the kickouts are so important now, and, you know, they're going beyond the arc and they're going beyond the 45. Like, all of them kickouts that Kerry won in the second half, only one of them was into the 45. So they were all beyond the 45, so they were all kickouts that were in contest, if you like, and they won them all, you know, whether it was clean or on a break. Now there's a lot going on around that area, and that's becoming a big part of the game, I think. You know, there's a hell of a lot going on when the ball is in the air with the guys that are on the ground, and you're seeing that in all the games. But listen, that's something that every team will have to deal with, you know, coming into the summer, and the refs, I suppose, as well, you know.
What do you put that flip down to then? Is that an aggression thing, a numbers thing, a setup thing? What changed?
I would say the opposition dressing room at half time. That's the obvious thing, you know. When you're doing well in a metric, you normally expect to get a fair heavy pushback on that particular metric, you know. And if you're running game strong, you're going to see your guys getting stopped. If you're doing really well in their kick out, you're going to see people up the ante, you know, and that's really what Kerry did. They got out quicker with the ball, you know, they got more people around the ball in the area. They controlled a lot of our lads on the ground, and they were coming clean into it. And they were hungrier on the break, you know. So that's always going to happen, Cahir, where, you know, if you're doing well, and that's having an impact on the scoreboard, that there's going to be a bounce out of the opposition, you know, no matter what area you're working on.
After winning the first three in the second half, the team called for a breach. What happened there?
Say it again, sorry.
The team called for a breach for one of O'Shea's threes in the second half. You need words with the board official.
Yeah, listen, the breaches are in vogue this weekend, I suppose, you know, but. There's a lot of stuff going on there, you know. And listen, there's no point getting overly worried about it. It's the second league game, and we'll focus now on Mayo. That'll be a really interesting game, and a really good challenge for us. And it's a home game as well, you know. So we only have three home games, so we'll have to try and see can we make that one count as well.
Are you going to target the league this year? Obviously last year the Derry game is the week after league final. You're 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah. I think our focus before the league was that we wanted to make sure everybody got through as safely as possible, develop depth within the squad, and see can we get some of these younger lads more minutes. And today will help that. In many respects, it'll help that. It'll allow us to do that. It'll allow us not to take risks with players, and it'll also allow us maybe to extend minutes for some of the young lads and see what they can do, you know, see what they can do under pressure against top teams, because, you know, the likes of Kerry, Mayo, Galway, Armagh, all these teams, they're gonna challenge you, like, and for a young player, it's great schooling, you know.
Does the calendar season make a league final more palatable for you and everybody?
Yeah, but there's no guarantee we'll be in the league final.
If you got it, you know, last year, obviously, about 1 week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It is a bit more palatable this year.
No, definitely. Like, you're not thinking that could be a negative. You're just thinking if we get enough points, we get enough points, you know. But we're going to focus on them three things. That's where our focus has to go there, you know. And if we get that part right and we get enough points, then we get enough points. I think that's the way we'll approach it.
Jim, you know that brilliant Shane O'Donnell turnover where you pointed down in front of Shane and was in that free. Why do you not see any more of that? Not just from the God, I mean, it's getting football
there. I think we are seeing a lot more of it, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot more going on this year than last year, definitely. Even last night, you know, it happened a couple of times. I think that, you know, teams are getting sort of more switched on to what's required. It's like a full court press in basketball, you know, and you've got to get there, you've got to be intensive, you've got to be disciplined as well. You know, there's no point then getting people in a really good spot and giving away free kicks. And, you know, we were overzealous a couple of times in the first half when we felt we could have got turnovers, and then we did get them in the second half, you know. So, no, I think that's happening across all the games, to be honest with you, and I think you're probably going to see, you're going to see more of it as well once people start understanding that it's valuable. I would say so, yeah. I think that one we just spoke about would be one of them. You know, I think two-pointers, you know, people are understanding now, you know, what it is, and people are looking at everybody's numbers as well, and they're looking at their own numbers, and people will have an idea of what they want to do, but you have to remember that that's linked to who you have available. Do you know what I mean? So you can say we want to do this and we want to do that, but if you don't have people in certain situations, you know, that's, it's not going to work. So I think for all the tactics regarding the new rules, it's around, you know, your own personnel and what you feel that you can do, and then a leap of faith on some of them because you understand that they're valuable.
I'm asking this, expect you probably won't tell us, but what was your plan for if David Clifford and Tomas Kennedy had played? Because obviously then Brenton moved across to Tomas when David wasn't playing, I presume.
There would have been, I think you're right there, I'm not going to tell you.
But it creates, you know, very quickly, we saw last weekend, that could be a different dynamic for Kerry this year.
Oh, definitely. He's a good young player. He's a very good young player. You know, Brendan did very well on him today. And I suppose, going back to our own lads that we want to give chances to, you know, he got his chance today and probably more heat on him today because of that. And, you know, that'll only improve him. You know, that'll only improve him. He's a fine young player and a good frame, good in the air. And so, yeah, definitely. Once they get everybody back and they get the full complement back, you know, a player like that will add value to the what they already have.
Yeah. You might see Pimpar more specifically most attractive thing, playing more advanced today, and again last week against Dublin, like 3 points in play. Talk about growing into a real leader in this team, we want to say something every day.
No, it's great. It's great that he's adding that part, you know, and that's kind of the part that he needed to add when he came in. You know, we all knew from very early on that he's a very good defender, and he's got a heart like a lion to put himself in positions where he can defend, and you've seen that even in a couple of transitional moments there in the second half. But he's worked very hard on, and he's a quick learner, to be fair to him, you know, he is, but he's worked very hard on sort of the possession aspect of it, and I've seen him out there even in the warm-up, you know, today, and he was taking most of his shots with his right foot, you know, so he knows that he has to add that in as well and not be predictable and stuff. So yeah, that's I think that's what all the good players do, don't they? You know, they don't stand still. They're trying to add a bit of value to the areas that they feel that they can add value, and we just need to keep ticking over with them, you know, keep moving them forward and keep ticking over.
I was going to ask Kieran Thompson and Sean Patton, are they getting any closer?
They are getting very closer. Obviously Sean's a lot closer than Kieran. You know, Kieran's on a specific timeline, Alan, but yeah, no, listen, they're both moving in the right direction, and prior to today, like, you know, we had probably, you know, Sean and Oisin and Michael and Kieran, and, you know, the list was fairly extensive, and once you start getting one or two back, you know, all of a sudden the next one can make a big difference, and that's what we're hoping to do over the next 7 or 8 weeks.
Did you hope to hear about toward the end of the league or championship?
I'd be lying, to be honest with you. I'd be lying. You know, we need to see what the timeline is and how, you know, it's all numbers. You know, it's all numbers and ticking boxes and moving to the next stage of their rehab and working with the S&C coaches, and then there'll be a crossover at some stage where they come to us, and as long as they're handed over safely and they're good to go, we'll be happy, you know. I think there's serious energy there at the moment and serious belief, and that's a very dangerous animal, you know, with Mayo. Like, obviously, if you take a step back from the team, you know, they have two midfielders, they have a midfielder at 10, they have a midfielder at 12, and then a midfielder at 14. They have a lot of big men, you know, and them guys are mobile as well. Aidan Shea, I think, playing really well, you know. And Jack Carney, a big boy, you know. Jordan Flynn, the same. So, yeah, and that's before you start getting into the fellas at the back. So they have a lot of size and a lot of physicality about them. And then Ryan in the middle. sort of balances off that, you know. So they're looking really good at the moment. We'll be looking forward to watching that game now in the next 24 hours and see what the challenge is ahead of us.
Yeah, up next, it's Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrats. Before that, of course, All-Ireland winner with Donegal in 1992, Martin McHugh. Donegal 122, Kerry 118. I think I have that right, don't I, Peter? What are your overall thoughts on it?
It was a good day, a huge crowd, and we were just after listening to Jack O'Connor there talking to the press. He was really impressed with the venue, the atmosphere. He says everything was right, he says, apart from the result. And I think everything was right for Donegal, even with the result. They probably didn't play their best. They didn't punish enough. They probably didn't win enough frees over the course of the game. There'd be plenty, I'd say, for Jim McGuinness to review. But the fact that they have 4 points on the board after two games, and, you know, full value for both wins, both in Croke Park last week and again today. Any league that you start off, you beat Dublin, you beat Kerry, like, it's a good start. I really look forward to seeing them play Mayo, a team that are kind of gung-ho, go out and play that, off the cuff football. Mayo do that next week, so that'll be a different game for them next week. But, you know, today they'll be happy going home. All the children that were here, all the 9,000 crowd, capacity crowd that were here, most of them from Donegal probably. Though there was a good smattering of Kerry people here even last night and again early this morning. It was way more than we would normally see at a game in Ballyshannon. But the sun came out for the game, I think, and it actually became warm in the second half. The hats kind of came off. And compared with what we witnessed in Croke Park last week, with the wind and the rain, everybody would probably go home with a smile on their face. Wee bit nervous at the end, couple of goal chances when Kerry threw that ball in high.
Didn't really defend it that well, did we? Martin McHugh, pretty much to paraphrase him, said the same. It was a bit panicky, wasn't it, or something?
It is. It probably came out of the blue as well, because they hadn't done that during the game. And, you know, given that they had done that with Tomas Kennedy as a target man against Roscommon last week and got good reward for it. And Jack O'Connor was asked about that, why they didn't. But he said their biggest problem was that they weren't winning enough primary possession in midfield. Even though they did win their share of the breaks in the middle of the field as well, I was surprised that they didn't leave Kennedy in and try more high ball in during the game. But they did at the end, and they got one goal, and Pater Mogan saved one on the line, and Caelan McColgan rushed a clearance, but we won the last one that was kicked in, and we were able to break up the field, and it probably was fitting that Michael Murphy was on the end of it, as he normally is, to tap it over. But, you know, the positives out of the game is watching Finn Barrorty all over the field. I thought he was man of the match.
The official man of the match?
I think maybe Darrell Boyle may have got it. But I thought Rorty was excellent. Scored 3 points, but his tackling, his hassling of players all over the field, it's just a joy to watch. And he does it in every single game. Like, he has an engine that's unbelievable. And he's nearly a role model for younger players now, even though he's only 20 years of age. He's becoming a role model of what a defender or what a modern day player looks like. He just never stops.
He was regarded as a prodigious underage talent in the Neve Connell club. And I remember meeting Connie Doherty on the beach down in Yarn about two, three years ago. And I just said, when he steps up to the inter-county plate, how good is he going to be? Where do you regard him in the pantheon of good players that Neve Connell have produced? And like a lot of clubs throughout the county, every club has produced really good players. And Connie said to me, and he would have seen them all, Finn Barrorty is going to be Neve Connell's greatest ever player. And I mean, again, we're going back to, they've had, we don't need to list them out. And God, I know them pretty well, because I'm from Ardrahan. I went to the comp and Glenties, and they're as familiar with us and we're familiar with them, but you'd have be familiar with them all. That was some, I thought, wow, that's a very high ceiling you're talking about at such a young age. And thus far, he is showing he's mirroring that expectation that was put on him. He could go on to be an all-time County great.
Oh, he could. He could. He probably, you know, he's in the Carl Lacey mould more than the Michael Murphy mould. Like he's always going to be a halfback, centre halfback, and driving forward, and like he has such drive, and he has such physical presence for such a young man, and the athleticism that he has is like second to none, and his tackling ability, like he smothers players that are twice his size. And he's able to strip the ball off them. He did it in Croke Park. He did it again today. He's likely to turn the ball over any time he goes to tackle a player. And like he's just a huge asset to have, but both for club and county. And we're blessed to be able to see him.
It looks like there are two or three of Finbar Rorty's on the pitch. Who else was good for you today? Let's go through the team. Mulraneyan goals, Keelan McCaughan, Brendan McCall, Patter Mogan. Kieran Gallagher came in for Ryan McHugh, but obviously he wasn't up raising a five. Keelan McGonigal, Finbar Rorty, Hugh McFadden, Michael Langan, Darrell Whale, Shane O'Donnell, Kieran Mooran inside, Conor O'Donnell, Jason McGee, and Shane Malone. So overall, go through the team.
Ah, yeah, they all did well. Like McCall and Mogan in particular, I think clipped over a couple of points. But also, you know, his defensive work was first rate as well, and McCall's was as well. McColgan did quite well on a number of occasions, and then on a couple of other occasions, probably not as good. Kieran Gallagher, I thought, did really well today in the first half. His ball-winning ability was an asset in the middle of the field. Keelan McGonigal, probably a little bit quieter today, but Kieran Moore then was back in the half-back line, and like he had a stormer as well. And Hugh McFadden, again, a two-pointer today. As I said in the second half commentary, he's
playing well, isn't he?
He's added that to his game scoring. He seems to have been given the license. Maybe he didn't have the license before to do it, but he always could do it for his club. And Michael Langan, can stroll through a game, but those couple of two-pointers at the start of the second half give Donegal a cushion, probably, that maybe they sat back a little bit on, but it pushed them so they were 9 points clear, I think, at that stage, because Rorty had got another one as well to add to his first half tally just after half time. So, you know, young Shane Malone came up with a very, very good point as well. Conor O'Donnell, lively, very lively in the first half, maybe not as lively in the second half. Shane O'Donnell, again, on an awful lot of ball, but I would just like to see his finishing be a little bit better. And Darrell Boyle picked up man of the match, but he took his goal very well. He drifted into position. Shane Malone didn't actually see him the first time, but when Shane O'Donnell got on the ball, he was in acres of space, but the way he took the goal, he dummied the keeper, made sure of the goal. And it was a big score before half-time because Donegal were behind 8 points to six, and then suddenly they were five in front at the break, which, you know, that score and blitz before half-time probably did a lot of damage to Kerry overall. And I think Jack O'Connor actually mentioned that. He talked about the 5 or 10 minutes before half-time and the 5 or 10 minutes after half-time. He says, that's when Donegal won the game. He says, and it's where Kerry lost the game. And in the end, that was the difference. But then it was great then to see we had Murphy and Gallum coming in and both getting on the score sheet as well. I would like to see them used sparingly in the next couple of weeks. I don't want to see them, you know, go into a situation where they pick up injuries again, because, you know, we have enough, I think, without actually putting them at full throttle. Giving them 20 minutes like that is what we should be doing over the next couple of weeks, both in Tyrone and in Armagh.
And they were managed really well last year, if you remember. Murphy was introduced when he needed to be, played when he needed to be, taken off early if he needed to be. And as Martin McHugh said, look, these lads are flying and training as well, and players just want to play. I'm going to let you go because still traffic here, and I know you have a busy evening ahead. I found it really strange coming back, even on commentary. I know I took a break from the club championship this year, but it's strange coming back after losing an All-Ireland final, because it's like you're coming back and you're a little bit flat, even for supporters. I think initially it's flat because you've gone so close, okay, and even 2 years ago lost to Galway. So kind of takes a couple of matches to kind of get into it. And when you're coming back, you just want to be elevated straight up to Croke Park on the third or fourth Sunday in July. The players, Martin's already referenced it. It's good to actually get this match now out of it, because even we heard Jim's comments last week, people are referring to the All-Ireland final. And you just, as I said, you want to go back to June, July and come close again. So what's your overall take on it? For now, you just have to look forward, don't you?
Oh, I think, yeah, they'll have to put just July out of the minds at this stage. And the fact that they've beaten Kerry today, you know, will help a little bit in that regard. You know, there were some good battles. There was a lot of physicality out there with Joe O'Connor in particular. There was a lot of reminders of, and probably maybe some reminders about July. So it is good. It's good to get the two wins on the board. It probably will relax them. Whether Donegal go to use more of their fringe players now, the fact that they have 4 points on the board, it's hard to know. They'll probably not do against Mayo. They'll probably play a reasonably strong team, because Mayo are a team who actually could embarrass you if you're not up for it.
They're actually a great league team as well. Bar that one relegation, they're a damn good league team.
They're always there or thereabouts. So, you know, after maybe the third game, we'll probably see more of the young talent. I think it's been used sparingly. Turlochyar came in today. Kevin Muldoon, I think, came in at the end as well. Kieran Geller and Shane Malone. So they are getting minutes, and hopefully Max Campbell will be back as well. Max, I think, picked up an injury in training, and he certainly would be one that you'd want to see as well. But overall, I think, perfect for the first two games.
You're confident for this year, Peter?
Well, you're as confident. You would like to beat a Kerry team with David Clifford in it, I suppose. It'll always be regarded as, you know, not the full Kerry team. But like any Kerry team that you beat, that's beat them down in Kerry last year in Killarney in the league. They've beaten them in Ballyshannon this year. And that doesn't happen very, very often in Donegal. We went for years, you know, trying to beat Kerry in a league game. I think we beat them in Tralee in 88 or something for the first time. Now, I suppose, it's not so much of an inferiority complex anymore. Donegal are there, and they're going to be at the top table this year as well.
Hopefully we can beat them later on in the year. The voice of Peter Campbell joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast. Donegal, one goal and 22 points. Kerry, one goal and 18. As I've conducted this podcast over the last 6-7 years, I love coming into club grounds, and I love talking to club GAA legends. And I'm with one now, the great Sylvester Maguire. What are you laughing at?
That makes me sound old. I'm only a young fella.
Well, Ireland winner, of course, with Donegal in 1992. Before I want to talk about the football, just a quick one. I came up here early at 22:11, and I was told, even leaving Ardra, I was panicking about parking. You sorted me out, and you sorted out 9,000 others with plenty of other brilliant volunteers. Just, like, this must be some occasion for you lads, and some organising's going into a match here in a local club ground.
Well, it's a huge occasion for the club, and you can see the facilities with the pitch. It's as good a ground, as good a pitch as in the country. We could do it improving the stand, but our terracing is very good. There's been 3 or 4 meetings during the week. Guards are involved, all the club members are involved. And no matter what internal stuff will be going on in the club, and there's always rows in clubs, everyone comes together for a game like this. And there was a team, we had a team of about 15 looking after parking alone. There was the same again, looking after Kate. Another one's looking after the pitch. Other one's looking after gates. And it's basically the whole club rolls up their sleeves and just comes on board under the stewardship of Tom Daly and David McLoon.
It's some planning, as you said. It's good to move it around the county. I know some counties keep it in one ground, but I think it's good even for growth in a particular region. Yeah, we have Letterkenny. Ballybofey, obviously, is the spiritual home, and then down here as well.
Well, Ballybofey, McCool Park is the place to play the big county games, because you can get 17,500, 18,000 into it. Then you have two fabulous pitches, St. Junan's pitch and the pitch up here. They have a good stand. The terracing wouldn't be great. We haven't got a great stand. We have good terracing. It's nice to move it around. 9,000 people in Ballyshannon now, obviously 9,000. There's a lot of kids involved in that. But I'm sure there was 6,500 adults here today, 7,000 adults. They leave a certain amount of funding down the town as well, and then helps the business and the industry around the town. And there's a great buzz. There's been a buzz here from about Wednesday. And tomorrow morning in the town here, they'll only be talking about one thing, the match. So that's why it's good for that. And it's great for the youngsters around here to come in and see all the stars. And in one way, we were hoping Clifford wouldn't be playing. And the rest of us were hoping, would be hoping he would be playing because he's such a gem of a player. And then when Morphy came on, you heard the roar. The kids don't forget things like that. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's the seventh meeting between Donegal and Kerry in Father Tierney Park. This is Donegal's first victory over Kerry here since 1990. Now, I think Donegal won here in 89 and 90, and there's a picture of you doing the rounds. It's actually gone viral. Jack O'Shea chasing you down the pitch. I know you don't want to talk about it, but I heard it's above the Sacred Heart in the house.
That's the one McNiff decided that even the great Jacko couldn't catch the Silver Man. So we called McNiff the Old Man. I was the Silver Man. Malloy was Lude and Rambo was Rambo. There was nicknames on everyone. I remember that game all right. What my real memory of the game was Manus kicking the unbelievable score from somewhere about the 45 over there at the stand, over the bar, to win by a point. And I mean, that was me. I was only after coming back into the team. I'd been out of favour for a short while and just got back in, played him as a sub. Three games, the fourth game started, felt I was back, and then broke the leg up here and was out for 2 years. So,
why did they call you the Silver Man?
What's your Silver, Sylvie, Silver Man? You wouldn't know. I was called worse.
It's not a bad one. I thought it was too obvious, the Silver Man, but I thought maybe there was some hidden agenda.
No, the Greys haven't appeared here yet. I'm not like the Badger yet.
The years have been kind. Listen, this was an absolute powerhouse of a club. My formative years growing up in our draw, it was always, you know, our draw were really competitive, but we were always in South Donegal. There was a couple of beasts in the south of the county, Killybegs in South West Donegal and Ballyshannon. And when you're talking to the older men in our draw, these kind of places, they can't talk about themselves without talking about Aru and Killybegs. This particular club has produced some amount of fabulous players.
Yeah, look, we were very strong here in the 90s, 80s and 90s. De La Salle won an All-Ireland B title in 1980 under Brian Toohey. Late Tom Cullen was managing that team, along with Michael McGowan and Jerry Breslin, John Travers, people like that. I went to the Tech, as it turned out, for the simple reason my brother went to the Tech. I didn't go to De La Salle, which was the real footballing school. They had very small numbers, they had about 100 and maybe 40 in the school when they won an All-Ireland B. Now, Abbey won an All-Ireland B probably with 400 to 500 boys in there. It's a magnificent achievement. And they're coming with a generational team in Donegal at the moment. Our team in 1980, our minor team, was the De La Salle team, plus myself and my brother Eamon came into the side at that stage. And of that team, including Matt Goller, seven of that team went on to play county senior football. Now, that was our foundation in the 80s. And then we came with another team, and then PJ Boogie got involved and Josie Boyle got involved. And we were regularly winning 14, 16 minor titles. De La Salle closed. We have Colossus de Columkill over there. We're a school of almost 700 with 350 boys. The same drive just isn't there at the moment. Plus, the other thing is when we grew up, the only sport in Ballyshannon was Gaelic football. A bit of soccer in the winter time and a bit of rugby for boys that wanted to pass the time. And if you were half mad, probably like me, you played hurling, which was brilliant. I loved hurling. And nowadays, that was it. The kids now have Gaelic football, soccer, rugby, hurling, basketball, swimming. Now we have the Mona McSharry effect in the swimming club where all the kids want to go swimming, surfing, horse riding, and there's great music, drama. And it's probably better for the kids all around, but I just feel at times it doesn't mean enough to the youngsters now. We had nothing else, so we absolutely ate, drank, and slept it. And we got our awards. We won four minors in a row, 79 to 82. And that's, I'll give a wee jig now at four masters. That wasn't 17s 1 year and 18. That was four 18s in a row. And in actual fact, I think we should have done five. We had the players for five, but it just didn't happen. But of them four, we only won two on the 21s. And then we went on and started winning senior. And if you looked in Donegal from 1980 to 2000, which was my time playing senior football, we won five, Killybegs won five, and Kilcar won five, 5, 10, 15. I think Unions had two, Ardra had one, four Masters had one, two in there, and that's the 20. But when we used to play Killybegs in particular, down the middle of our team, you would have Gary Walsh, Tommy McDermott, the Natch, Eunan Goller, two of myself, Big Murray and Big Joe Doherty, the guard from Mayo, who was about 6'2", and he'd arms down to his ankles. And coming the other way was Crock and goals for Killybegs, brilliant keeper.
Yeah.
Big Carberry, John Cunningham, Barry Cunningham and John Bond, Barry McGowan and Manus Boyle. There were 10 big units up the middle of both teams, and we used to go at it hammer and tongs, like, and it was terrific. Terrific football. I would say the best championship we ever played in was the 96 one. which Killy Beggs actually won, managed by Abel Shannon and Pádraic McShee. We don't think we ever forget.
Did you beat them in the first game in Fintra? Yes. Then they came up here and then went to a third game.
Then I went to a third game, which was a draw. Went to a fourth game that went to extra time.
Wow.
And a point in it at the end. And then they went to two or three games.
Three against our draw.
So to be fair, they did deserve to win it at that stage. So, that was, for me, was the best championship football that was ever played in Donegal. I thought it was magnificent. Unfortunately, we came out the wrong side of it, but that's it.
You can see just John Harn's going to text me in a few minutes. What's he on about five championship? It's only four. But listen, John, I'm sorry, it's in the history books. We won't talk about 97.
Well, there's boys talking to me about it. They weren't even born in 97. And look, it's all in the past. But the next one.
Horrible question for you. Who's the best player you played with from Ballyshannon? I saw a couple of the greats earlier on.
Well, I would list them. There was a group. In that group I mentioned, Gary, Natch, Toohey, Tommy McDermott was exception. A player that a lot of people don't know was Dermot Kilwan, who played, everyone would know him, but I seen Dermot Kilwan play in Sigerson against Maurice Fitzgerald, Peter Canavan, Mark Turley, Joe Brawley, James McCartan. He could mark any one of them he had to mark. He was absolutely brilliant as well. But I answer that question maybe a different way. The best player in Ballyshannon that never wore a senior county jersey for me was Gavin Burke. Oh. And Gavin went away to the Air Corps for us at the wrong time, for him at the right time. But Gavin was absolutely county standard. But Roper, John Duffy, someone said to me, who's the best player you ever coached? And said, it must be John Duffy. Nobody ever coached John Duffy. John Duffy was just a natural. You know, but
Ned McCready.
McCready was a ferocious athlete. My God, an engine that never stopped. But look, we had great players. A lot of our former players now are back working. Barry Ward's back in as Borden and Oak chairman. And Barry never took too many sidesteps when he was playing football. He'll be down the middle. We're trying to drive it on and drive it on. It's just other clubs that we were ahead of back in the 70s, 80s and 90s. They're all up there now. It's hard to know what you have to do to get one up on somebody. I had a great trick of luck years ago. You would play a third training session in the week. That's a bare minimum now for most clubs. So where do you go? Do you go to a fourth? Or do you go to the gym, which I detest? I think they go to the gym to look good on a Saturday night and on the dance floor. Like, for club football, it should be all about skill and games. Like.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And I could talk to you about Eirua for the next 3 hours. We might do that in, you know, maybe one of the pubs some night. Listen, you've put on a great show here. So did Donegal. What did you make of Donegal overall? What did you make of them today? And overall survey and where Donegal football is at, the senior team, the senior inter-county team, what do you think?
We had a kind of a lull after the All-Ireland last year. Everyone was down. If you look at it, when we got it back was it 4 points or twice in the second half in Croke Park that day? In Oil Money, it was a draw game with the 2 pointers. We weren't that far away from them, right? Two things. I think we've got to stop looking to the sideline for the solution. Jim McGuinness is not playing. I made this point to Jim, by the way, one day. I met him in a petrol filling station. We had a chat and we were laughing at each other. And I says, "What?" He says, "Give me your opinion. Everyone else has given me theirs," he says. And I was just that. We've got to stop looking somewhere else for the solution. Players on the field have to make decisions. Some great balls fetched out here today. Great to see Jason McGee back. I think he's key. I would hate to own anything belonging to Rorty. The way he tackles for that ball, he would absolutely grapple you to the ground. He's so hungry for the ball.
He's outstanding.
He's an outstanding tackler. And I think that maybe, like, there's no doubt we learned from last year. And I think that the players will be a year older, a year wiser. What's left in Murphy's going to be big. Came in there today and done what Murphy does. He attacked us straight away. There was three men hopping up. Well, that leaves a bit of space for somebody else. We have to do it this year if we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Because everything else will start moving away from you if you don't. Met Jim at the county board meeting the other night. He came in to address the county board. And he's gunning for Ulster again. He wants Ulster, but then Ulster was always the big one here is to win the Ulster Championship. And you would have to say, the great Kerry team that I had the privilege of playing against on a few occasions. How many All-Irelands would they have won if they were in Ulster that year? Because Ulster from about, I think about 67, 68, up to about 97, 98, nobody put two back-to-back in Ulster bar Derry, 75, 76, until well into the 90s. And every year was a different county coming out. Munster was like it was like the gospel. It was Cork, Kerry, 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 Cork, Cork, Kerry for 10 in a row, Cork, Kerry again. So they were able to breeze into semi-finals and finals, handy enough. But we have a big task ahead of us to try and win Ulster. And he's screaming, he's screening the county for players. Some lovely young footballers, young Malone's, you know, fabulous player. Getting the balance right is the big one. But I think the players on the field can't be bullied out of another All-Ireland, because we were literally horsed off the field. Not totally, fairly and squarely by a hungry Kerry team. They were there to fight. I thought at times maybe we were there to play chess and play the system. And so, look, there's no easy solution. The only person who knows how the team is performing is the manager and the trainers that's watching them every night in training. We can't comment on who was selected because we don't know who was coming up well in the training. But I think the future looks very good for Donegal and what's coming after it for the next generations. There's ferocious work going again in the academies, the underage. I'm involved a wee bit with 14s and 15s down at the lower end of it and push them on up. And it'd be nice to get them. Our schools are competing in the Ulster colleges, which geographically and historically we couldn't do because we have a heap of schools in an area where there's one school in the north, the likes of Patsmar, Ireland, again, with 14, 15 clubs. Our combined north-south team only had 7 or 8 clubs feeding that southwest team. And they're all giving out about it, with less boys than one school in Omagh or Dungannon or... So the geography of Ulster doesn't help us in Ulster colleges, but we need to start getting success in that as well.
And the geography is just half touched on it there. Overall, completely on the helicopter survey, and it for me, the geography in Donegal football is just in a way healthier place. Even if you look at it, and this is to sound no way patronising, but when you were in your pomp, it was South Donegal, let's be honest. Now, I know before that there were decades where, you know, it was predominantly maybe up in the Rosses, Guidoor, Dunlow. You look at today, Caoimhe McColgan, Conor O'Donnell, Caoimhe McGonigal, all coming from Inishowen. That was basically a wasteland of Donegal GAA for decades upon decades. And you mentioned McCrory Cup, because I said this on the podcast last year, a great Kerry man, and I won't do his accent this time, said to me, listen, after the 14 final, when you make All-Ireland finals and you're down at the top table, he says you'll bloody lose them, but you'll bloody win them. He says you'll bloody win them, but you'll lose them as well. So the whole thing of Donegal football is not about coming once every 15 years and making a final and either winning it or losing it. Great if you can win it. It's about constantly competing at the business end and dining at the top table. And it's all these other components that make... The senior inter county team is just it's the cherry on top, isn't it?
Well, the interesting thing is, the Kerry man was right, of course. Interesting quiz question you just see coming up. Kerry have won the most All-Irelands. Who has lost the most All-Irelands? Kerry as well. They've lost a heap of them as well. Come back to when we won it in 92. To be fair to the county board, they showed magnificent vision. They actually pushed, they changed all the league structures. They pulled in Inishowen. They pulled in the northern half of the county into Division 1 football. It was great. If you look back, you're too young to remember this, but what they done was they redeveloped the leagues in Donegal to spread and bring in the, what you're after mentioning. And you see that geographical spread that's there now at the moment. It's terrific. We have a problem in Ballyshannon. We have nobody there at the minute. We have a couple of fine young players coming through, and I would predict that Jack Galler of Ballyshannon, who'd be grandson of the former St. Joseph's great Kieran Blake of the Letterkenny Blakes, is playing very well with ATU at the moment. And he's a wee bit like Malone. He's a wee bit like Gallon. He's a natural scoring forward, and he's our best hope, hopefully. So hopefully we'll get a few players up there to that level again. We have a few knocking about minor panels, 20s panels, and you just keep working and working, and eventually it happens.
We'll get a bit cuter in the media as well, but I said this last year as your phone rings, I promise this is the last one. Leading into the final last year, I was trying to just... I have a lot of friends down in Kerry, and I'm quite familiar with them. You didn't hear their own people blowing them up last year before the final. We've a lot to learn culturally as a county, and a few people were giving out to me last year in the lead up to the final saying, we blown up Kerry and not blown up Donegal. And my answer always was, they're so cute. They're so smart. I was listening to a number of podcasts even in the past couple of months. Kerry don't enjoy winning All-Irelands. It's relief. Relief's there. That's where other counties have to eat egg. Expect it. A lot of them sit in the dressing room after. It's a bit like New Zealand in the rugby. They famously said when they beat France in the final, they weren't happy, there wasn't joy, it was relief. And that's where Donegal need to get.
Well, I wouldn't surprise me if Jack O'Connor didn't have the O'Shea's out, given out about Kerry when Meath beat them, that it wasn't deliberately set up that way. But, I mean, Kerry don't like losing. We all know that. And they're cute. they take the head off and they tell you, they convince you you look better without your head. And they'll probably charge you for it as well. But they're great. We all grew up with Kerry. Mick O'Connor was my hero, Paddy O'Shea, Jack O'Shea, and then the privilege of playing on the same field as them. Not Mick O'Connor now. But I mean, when I remember Dean Joe Crowley scoring a goal for Kerry in the 69-70 final. Well, I don't know how many footballs I burst in the Blackthorn Bush, being Dean Joe Crowley going through and burying in the net. Kerry was what we all, you know, we all kind of looked up to that and wished that we could be that good. But you're right, we have got to get to the stage where we feel that it's where we should be. And rather than the once in the blue moon, we get down the road again this year, we're going well, another 2 points in the bag and we'll probably be comfortable enough in Division One. And I don't know if he's worrying about Division League titles or whatever. But Ulster Championship down the lane, clean bill of health, we have to get Murphy, Jason McGee, clean bill of health for them too. Vital, vital.
That's vital, and it's vital you, whoever was ringing you there, it's vital you bring them back. I think the Spuds might be on the table, or on the table, are they?
It's the sister, I'd say she's looking for something.
Sylvester Maguire, Aru, of course, All-Ireland winner with Donegal back in 1992. Thanks for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast. So, in Father Tierney Park, Ballyshannon, Donegal 122, Kerry 118, delighted to be joined by Colm Keyes of the Irish Independent. Colm, what did you make of it?
I thought it was a good game. I'll echo what Jack O'Connor said. Great, lovely day, great crowd, great venue, good football, good contest. One I expected Donegal would win, and they won it a little less comfortably than I thought they should have in the end. They were under a little bit of pressure that probably was never on the cards throughout the game. They were always that bit better. But Kerry peppered them with high ball into the goal mouth near the end. They got a goal out of it. Joe O'Connor might have had a goal earlier. And there is that vulnerability, I think, about Donegal in those situations. They can come under pressure with that type of ball. Be interesting to see now how it develops. But overall, they were in control and won it. 4 points was probably accurate, maybe deserved to win it by a bit more. But Kerry threw everything at them and got a little bit out of it.
People always ask, you know, in these early stages in the league, what do you see different about X, Y, Z? It was a league game in Ballyshannon in February. It really was. When we saw Jack O'Connor after losing a match, managing Kerry, and he's smiling coming out, nobody's going to be too bothered either, Colm.
No, and Jack O'Connor is in the privileged position as it is that he's a five-time All-Ireland winning Kerry manager. He's won two of the last five. He has probably brought a bit of salvation at different times across the years to Kerry when they've been in trouble. He's been there. He's been their firefighter, the man they've gone to rescue the situation. There was a drift there after 8 years between 2014 and 2022. He comes in year one, wins in All-Ireland. He's in a very comfortable position as a Kerry manager. And as you say, they don't like losing any game coming up here, but they had six of their All-Ireland winning team, came back to four when Sean O'Brien and Mike Breen went. No David Clifford. Once David Clifford wasn't on the bus, there's probably a different dynamic to a Kerry team. There's a decompression there. The expectation is never as great. And yet, they were snapping at the heels at Donegal at the end. So I think that's what will please Jack O'Connor. No real standouts from a new player point of view, nothing like that. But what he did get was an absolutely massive performance from Sean O'Shea, you know, a guy who has won two All-Irelands. You know, you'd think he'd be in the same boat as Clifford, maybe just putting the feet up a little bit, maybe not going on these long journeys. But as Jack pointed out afterwards, he relishes a battle, and he really relished that battle in the second half. Were it not for his long-range frees, he kicked 3 2-pointers in the second half, 4 overall. I think Kerry would have been well adrift, but there were massive kicks, really brilliant kicks. And another one actually just dropped into Gavin Mulready's into his hands. It could have been 5. So between himself and Rory Began, and that's what Jim McGuinness name-checked the two, that the range that they have in what is now a 2-point game, it's just incredible to have that asset, to have that artillery, to be able to do that. They hung in on the back of what he did from those kicks in the second half, and they capitalised on it to a degree. They obviously didn't win the game, but they got back in. If they drew the second half, playing against the wind, and they dug deep, and they could have nicked something out of it at the end, only that late counter-attacking point that Michael Murphy, back on the pitch, and great to see him back on the pitch, only for that. You know, it was hanging in the balance in a way that it shouldn't have been.
a remarkable player, Sean O'Shea. The state of play, so we were obviously working here today. Mayo defeated Dublin. That's 2-2 for Andy Moran. 2-2 from Jim McGuinness. Obviously, Galway have 1 win. Armagh have 1 win. Dublin 0-2. Roscommon have a win. Monaghan 0-2. So I was joking, even if you put Real Madrid into a group of, there's only 7 matches, if you lose your first 2, no matter who you're playing, you're in trouble, given the context of how short it is. So already, Dublin already looking over their shoulders. Monaghan looked to be in a little bit of trouble already. Good win for Roscommon today. So, and equally, the opposite of that, the teams with 2-2, you'd imagine this year, 6 points. It won't be like last year, where 7 points got you relegated.
Well, 7 points last year, I don't ever remember. There was never a time when a team in Tyrone obviously went down at that. Monaghan are in trouble. They lost by 6 points today to a Roscommon team that obviously pushed Kerry hard last week. But they still, at least I don't think they had their Bridget's players back today quite yet. Dublin are in trouble. There is no doubt about, looking at the way the scoreline went today, they were adrift in that for a long time. Only the goals kept them in it. And Donegal had them by the throat for a long time. I thought they did well to get back through Sean Bogler and Luke Brannock chiefly last week. There's not a huge pool of stellar talent in Dublin right now with the erosion of the team that we know that had the game in such a grip for so long. The replacements, this nowhere near the same quality of replacement is there for Dublin. And you can see that with the way underage football has been going. Last year Dublin didn't even reach a Leinster final at under minor, under 20 or senior. That's a long, long time back to the 90s since that happened. They'll always be in the frame. And you're looking through the names and they're not there. They're all at a relative standard. They need absolutely everybody to be on the pitch to be surviving. I thought there would be a bit of a kick in them in Mayo today. And for that Mayo team to go on and, you know, beat them with a bit to spare, that's a concern. There's no new management bounce from Gerard Brennan. Not saying that's important. Eamon Fitzmaurice will always recall he lost his first 4 games in 2013 and came back. But he was missing a lot of players at the time. Dublin aren't missing as many that are certainly not replaceable. A lot of the players missing. Maybe Kieran Kilkenny, I'm not sure where he came off the bench today. But it is concerning for them. And I'm not sure how much they'll get up to speed. You would have expected the bounce. New management. Not a great season last year, or even the year before, you'd be expecting something more from Dublin. And so far, it hasn't come. But a very good start for Andy Moran. I was at the game against Galway last week. He's certainly trying to play a more attacking brand of football. And that was evident in team selection and the way that they played. The ball is moving faster into the full forward line. There's a little bit more risk there than there was. Yeah, there's more risk there. And I think that's a big factor because Mayo had become safe.
Would you expect Donegal or Mayo? Given the context, I think this last year, the proximity between league and championship, it was mentioned so many times, managers were getting their X amount of wins and then they were kind of picking and choosing who played. And you can't really fault the management team. That's their prerogative. Maybe Donegal, Mayo might target a league final this year.
I think both will. I don't see why not. There's certainly a three-week.
Galway will have a 5-week break between the Monaghan match and Down on the 26th of April. You could contend that they might actually really want a league final in between that time.
That would be a 4-week break. So that's in the current climate where games are every 2 weeks. 4 weeks is a bit of a stretch. There's no longer gap, so that would be their longest gap. So if it was 5 weeks. There'd be a lot of time to fill in. I understand Donegal are going away in a training camp, but to have that league final would be something. And it's a trip back to Croke Park, obviously, where they suffered a bit in the All-Ireland final last year. Not sure that's a very big factor. But I think this Donegal team is in a good position to go and contest and go and win a league title. I think they will be there because they've got over two potentially hard games. They were a little bit easier, felt easier maybe than they would have been. And obviously the next day against Mayo, that's a big game for the two teams with 100% record.
Last one for you. Donegal have only played in 4 All-Ireland finals, 1-2, lost 2. So culturally, or history, I suppose, when we make a final, we get very giddy up here. We cannot help it. There's this just innate love for Gaelic games, but we have not dined at the top table far too long, unlike your native Meath, unlike Kerry, where it's a currency. And even we were getting giddy last year into the final, and Sylvester Maguire and myself were already in Peter Campbell talking, you know, there's this thing in Kerry where the emotion when they win in All-Ireland is like, a few of them, they've said it themselves, it's relief rather than actual joy. So in Donegal, we do, as supporters, working in the media, we felt a little bit flat even coming back this year because we got so close last year. For you, where's Donegal at in the grand scheme of things? Can you see Donegal competing this year?
I'd say Kerry, last year's All-Ireland title probably gave Kerry more joy than any All-Ireland title I think I've seen. I think beating the three teams they beat on the run-in, in Croke Park, the manner of those victories, topped by David Clifford's brilliance, that's what they really appreciate in Kerry. And there's probably a perception there that they struggled to deal with Ulster teams. And that was blown apart in Croke Park over those three weekends last year. I think they're in the slipstream, obviously, of Kerry right now, despite today's result. In the grander scheme of things, I think themselves and Armagh are in hottest in pursuit of Kerry. I think last year's Ulster final and the year before is the perfect barometer for what's next. I think that's the form line, probably followed by Galway and Mayo after that. I think Dublin have slipped back a bit. I think Tyrone have slipped back. They could come. They have potential. But I think number one, Kerry, two and three between Armagh and Donegal, and just tucked in behind them, Galway and Mayo. That's the way I read it.
The promise is that awesome, because if Kerry was any other team, you'd say very hard to do a two in a row. I know your own Meath done it 87, 88, Cork done 89, 90. They are rare unless you're Kerry or Dublin. Those great Meath teams, great Galway teams, great Tyrone teams that didn't do it. But given that history and that culture I talk about, are they really primed? For me in the outside going, yeah, they are primed to do two in a row. They're categorically the team to beat, aren't they?
They are, of course, and they're at the peak of their maturity. You take it that Tom O'Sullivan, who probably will be club player of the year, he was absolutely brilliant for Dingle. Now, that's a different standard. But he didn't play. He didn't start the Tyrone or Donegal games in the All-Ireland semi-final and final. You could say that Dermot O'Connor, who wasn't part of the game today, player of such potential. He's mid-20s now, over it. He's heading into probably 26 now, or heading 26. Player of great potential. He probably wasn't at his best in Croke Park on the run in. And then you have Gavin White and Jason Foley and all these players, David Clifford, Sean O'Shea. They're all at peak maturity. They're all in their late 20s, maybe touching 30. It's a perfect age in Gaelic football for them to go and win. You see the Gainey's, Dylan Gainey, how good he was. You're looking at Tony Brosnan there. He was the other big factor for Kerry today, I felt. He's a very, very good start to the season. He's another big addition to them. So is Tomás Kennedy. I think with the right platform and the right ball, he's as good a catcher of the ball, and I've only seen him a few times, but he's just a magnificent catcher. So there's a lot to like about them. A few issues in defence for Kerry, and I think there will be, you know, maybe the same All-Ireland final defence last year, I'm not so sure will do them this year. Yeah. I think there probably are improvements to make there. But further up the field you go, they have the leaders. They have Sean O'Shea and David Clifford. Peak of their powers right now, the right age to go and lead Kerry. But I think Donegal and Armagh hottest in pursuit.
Okay. Fair enough. Colm Keyes of the Irish Endo, thanks for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Thanks very much, Paddy. Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. A big, massive shout out to Austin O'Callaghan back at base, who always gets the podcast out in rapid time. There's a break next weekend. Then Donegal take on Mayo. Of course, they've had two wins from two as well, so something has to give 2 weeks' time in Letterkenny. From me, Paddy McGill, at Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon, it's bye for now. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.